Dear listener, there's one thing I love in the world. I love to read books. There is not a time in my life where I do not remember having a book in my hand. There is no other greater enjoyment for me than to read a book, falling into another world and learning about new things. But I want to bring it back to when I was a kid and why I liked reading. Now, who better else to help me with this than a young reader herself? And that's coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome to The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. Today we have a special show. We're going to be talking to a young avid reader. Her name is Addison Lynn, and she's just going to share with you why she loves to read. Now, you may be wondering, why would I do a show about reading? Because you always interview different authors. Well, illiteracy in the United States is at all-time high. Approximately 60% of low-income families in the U.S. do not have books at home, and that negatively affects children's literacy development. Children whose parents have less than a high school diploma are 73% more likely to live in low-income families, which impacts their educational outcomes and literacy levels. Students who regularly read at home score about 25% higher on a reading test than those who do not have access to reading at home. For many years, I was one of the podcasters for the Michigan Reading Association, their Kaleidoscope magazine, and I would interview young authors about why they enjoyed reading. And I haven't done that in a while, and I just want to really bring it back home and encourage young readers out there who want to read to pick up a book and start reading. So I'm going to bring my guest on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm fine, Addison. I want to thank you so much for being with me on the show. Really looking forward to talking with you because you represent a lot of kids out there. You are online sometimes. You hang out with your friends, and you also like to read. And so I think you were like the perfect guest to have on my show, is someone who likes to read. Because I remember loving having a book in my hand. So we're just going to go through some of the questions we have here. And hopefully by the time we finish, we would have encouraged other young people to read. So are you ready for the show? All right, so my first question is this. What is the last book you read, and what made it so engaging?
The last book I read that I couldn't put down was Magnus Chase and the Ship of the Dead by Rick Riordan. Some other people might recognize him as, like, the author of Percy Jackson, Trials of Apollo, Cain Chronicles. He's written a lot of other stuff. I read most of his stuff. He's a great author, but what made it so engaging is it was the last book in the series, and it was They Don't Manage to Stop This Event, It Might Trigger the End of the World.
We like stuff like that. We like the stuff that goes, oh, gosh, they didn't save it. Something's going to happen. We got to figure out how they're going to fix this problem. You know, we have stuff like that as readers.
Yeah, and also another great thing about all of these books that are grounded, they take place in a modern-day world.
So you like that contemporary feel. We call it contemporary.
They've got all the fantasy feel. They've got all the adventure that I like. But it takes place in a modern-day world, so I can envision it happening better.
So that brings to my next question. If you could meet any character from your books, who would it be, and what would you ask them?
I personally feel like that's a really hard question because I've got favorite book characters in a lot of books. But I think one of my top choices would be Hermione Granger from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I would probably ask her, like, what was her reaction when she got her Hogwarts letter?
What do you think your reaction would have been if you got your Hogwarts letter?
I'd probably have been like, is this a joke? Is this some sort of prank for someone? Is this real?
The thing about Harry Potter, it really captures the imagination. I remember when those books came out because I'm a little bit older than you. So I remember when those books came out. And when the fourth book came out, never heard of Harry Potter. All I remember is someone saying the fourth Harry Potter book is out, and people were going nuts when it came out. I remember that. So, yeah. And Harry Potter has spawned the imagination of a new generation, right? And I hope that continues on. So my next question is this. What are your favorite types of stories? Adventures, mysteries, fantasy, sci-fi, or another genre? What draws you to that particular genre?
I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I really like those adventure fantasy books that like kind of take place in a modern day world. However, I do like fantasy books a lot. Like I've got a lot of books that are based on like the Disney princess movies and such. They're the Twisted Tales. They've got like a small little twist on it. And I find them really interesting.
So that brings me to my next question. And I know this is kind of hard because when you're a reader, it's hard to narrow down just one. But who is your favorite author? And what do you think makes their writing special or different from others?
I mean, there's two that I couldn't really decide between. I would say it's either J.K. Rowling or Rick Riordan. Because I'm a huge fan of the Harry Potter series. I feel like Harry Potter is a character where you can kind of place yourself in his shoes, feel like you're the one going through the story. And then with Rick Riordan, any book he writes, the main character is hilarious. Like, they're always cracking jokes, a bunch of sarcasm, and they're just really fun.
You said, like, the characterization of Rick is his characters. They're very characters. But you like J.K. Rowling's imagination, right?
Yeah.
So if you were to choose another attribute of both of those authors, what attributes will also add to their writing style that appeals to you?
Like, so what do you mean when you say that?
So you said, like, for Rick, you like his characters. You said they're hilarious, the first thing you said, right?
Yeah.
But J.K. Rowling has that imagination. Is it the way they describe things that's different? Is it the way they just put really interesting spin on stories? What is it that will be the other attribute that you like about them?
So with Rick Riordan, I like how he's got the characters, like, you can, like, they're saying what they're thinking in the books. It's almost like with the Percy Jackson series, it's almost written as if the main character is writing the book. Like, because Rick Riordan in the Percy Jackson series, there is a side story where it is Percy Jackson who is the author, basically. But, like, with J.K. Rowling, it's, you've got these other characters that you see and you can, like, kind of feel, like, what they're going through more easily. And it's, like, you can kind of, they don't have as much as, like, personalities that not everyone has, so that makes it easier to, like, place yourself in their shoes and see what's going on.
Okay, I see. So Rick tends to have what I would call in the industry a tighter prose. He's really deep into, you think this character is writing the story that you alluded to, you know, Percy Jackson having his own books as a side story. And then J.K. Rowling seems to be really good at world building, really immersing you into that world. Would you say
yeah.
That's pretty accurate? Okay. Have you ever read a book that made you cry or laugh out loud? What was it? And what about that book moved you so much?
I mean, there are a lot. So one that is incredible. Usually I don't cry during books. However, if it's about dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know how every dog book ends. So.
Yeah, they don't end well.
I always end up crying. Who decided that had to be the ending in every single dog book?
Made that law, right?
About dogs. Any book about dogs. Who decided if it has a dog in it, they got to kill the dog off at the end?
Yes, and we don't like that.
Yeah.
We don't like that.
But
do you have a dog yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I had to read this book at school where the red fern grows. There were two dogs in it. That was very sad at the end. I did not like that ending.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because just as a reader, you said, who wrote that rule? But I think it's because animals tend to have such a pure innocence to them that people sometimes have and some people sometimes don't have because you got the villains and you got your antagonists, right? So with dogs, they're there to be your companion. They're your pets. They're the ones that keep you going. They protect you. They have all these things. And so losing that kind of gets us into the real world that everything doesn't always last. You know what I mean? Some things are going to just end one day. And maybe that's a good thing for us to recognize now in books than we do later. So my next one is this. What's the most surprising twist you've encountered in a story, and how did that affect your experience of that book?
I mean, like, the Twisted Tale books that I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of those. I read those, and it's like they automatically put a twist on the story. That's always very interesting because I don't know what's going to happen. And then And Percy Jackson, a huge plot twist at the end of the first book. Spoiler, if you haven't read it and you want to read it. Luke has Stilen, who at the beginning is like this friend to Percy. He's being very supportive. He's helping him through this new world that Percy doesn't even understand yet. And though Percy is aware that he's going to be betrayed by a friend, but he feels like it might be in a different way. He thought this has already happened with another big plot point in his book. But Luke ends up being a traitor at the end. I definitely did not see that coming. I go back to
Sweden,
I'm like, I still can't see it until like a few seconds, like a few pages before he goes to betray him.
But that happens in real life, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's like, sure, there's a few things where it's like, okay, yeah, now it's kind of obvious. He suspected the wrong person. Like, there's some things where it's like, okay, Percy, now you're just being dumb. This person gave you this, that, and this item tried to kill you. Pretty obvious who the culprit is here.
Okay. I love it. I love the fact that you're analyzing your stories as you read them, and I guess you just can't help it when you're a big reader. So my next question is this. If you could live in the world of any book for a day, which world would you choose, and what would you do there?
I'd probably choose Harry Potter, because I'm going to be honest, the Percy Jackson series or any of those Rowling books, I'd be terrified. There's concepts of monsters and such. I'd probably die like minute one.
You at least have a better chance in the Harry Potter world, right?
Yeah, like, I just want to go walk around Hogwarts and hope that there's no evil professors or trolls at that time.
But at that time, you know, it is one day, so maybe you get by one day, but it seems to be a recurring theme, Harry Potter. I like this next question, and I'll be interested in your thoughts. Do you prefer books of one main character or multiple points of view? And which and why do you prefer the one you prefer?
I am honestly not, I really not that picky when it comes to that. Like, because if they have so many characters and, like, sometimes they're off doing separate things, I want to see what the separate things are going on with. But, like, if it's one character and you're kind of writing it, like, from there, but if it's only, like, say, like, three main characters and they're all staying together for most of the time, I only want one character.
It depends on the story, though. I know what you mean. Kind of depends on the story. So, yeah. And this is a question I don't think I asked you before we started recording, but do you like when a book is in first person, or do you like it when it's in third person?
I usually like it when it feels like the character is telling the story.
Okay, so first person. Okay.
Yeah, I can never remember which one is which.
Yeah, first person is I saw, I looked, I jumped. Third person is he saw, she looked, she jumped. Like
yeah,
that.
I like it where I get to hear the character's thought. Because then you don't really necessarily know what's going on with the other characters, and it makes the plot twist a bit more dramatic.
Do you feel like you're more immersed in the story when it's in first person?
Yeah, because then you know what the character, how the character feels a bit more.
Then my next question is, how do you decide which book to read next?
I will usually go through, I'll see, like, if the last book I read has a continuation series or if the author has written anything else that I might find interesting. And then if there's not that sort of thing, I will go find another book related to things that I know I like. Like, for
okay.
example, there's, like, a few books on Frozen. Love those books. I've read them. I've lost count of time, the amount of times.
I see. And so my next question is, and this goes to my whole point I made at the beginning of our talk, talking about how illiteracy is high in the U.S. and how kids with low, people who are coming from low-income families have a harder time to have access to books, right? So these couple of questions is you using your genius to see how can you encourage young readers, okay? So what kinds of stories or subjects do you think will captivate young readers the most? And why do you think these would be effective in promoting reading?
I would say, like, adventure and fantasy, because they're usually really action-packed. You're good at capturing your attention. And oftentimes, like, they've got the, like, constant, like, action. There's not as many dull points in the book. Because, like, sometimes you're reading one, like, for example, in school, we just had to read The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. It took so long to get going, and even once it got going, it didn't have that much, like, adventure-related stuff until the end.
Was it more introspective as much as, like, how he's feeling, how he's thinking, stuff like that, as opposed to he's not doing anything?
sure, you would get the characters like feelings and stuff, but it was mostly the main the two main characters sitting and talking most of the time.
And that gets boring after a while. If you want to be on the phone, you can be on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then my next question is, what innovative methods or tools would you suggest to help reluctant readers become more interested in reading for pleasure?
Like, maybe listen to, like, the first... If there's a book you want to read but you're not sure if you'll like it, like, listen to the first few chapters in an audio book, and, like, that way you can still be doing other things while you do, but, like, if it captures your attention, then go through and read the book. Or I would say, like, read comic books. Like, there's, like, for example, with Brian, a lot of his books have a comic book version as well. So, like, go read the comic book version if you want, if you end up really liking it and you want more detail, because the comic books can't give you all the same detail. Go through, read the actual book.
I like that you said that, Addison, because that lets us know, some of us who are writers, how we can reach reluctant readers who may not be into the printed word, but they like pictures and they like graphics and stuff like that. And then usually the graphics have a more, would you say, simplified version of the story to
yeah.
give you, okay, okay, good. I like
and
that.
One other thing I would mention is, like, don't go to, like, these super thick books immediately if you're not sure what you want to do. Like, start with thinner books. Like, for example, before Third of Grit, I hadn't really read that much. Because I was the last person in my class to learn to read. I didn't learn to read until first grade. And then once I learned to read, like, it took me a while. I wasn't that good at reading, and I just didn't really like it because I had to do it for school, and then I just didn't really want to. But then, like, in third grade in the classroom, we were allowed to, like, check out books and stuff. I read the first Nancy Drew book. I fell in love with the book. I never finished the series, but that's because there's, like, over 50 books in the series, and after a while, I started finishing them too quick, and I'm like, okay, I'm reading these too fast for me to get that much interest out of them. Because, like, I started them, they're not that thick. They're usually super thin compared to what I read now. They're on the thinner side. Because, like, and that also, like, if it's a book with thinner ones, like, and it's a series, and they all tend to be about the same size, then you can tell when you start reading faster. Because, like, at first, it took me about a day or two to read one of those books. And then as I went on, like, I was starting to read them in a day. And then I could read them, like, in a little less than a full day. And then I was starting to be able to read them, like, in, like, 2 to 3 books a day. So then you can kind of see, like, how when you speed up with reading, because it's not going to be a consistent size. It's going to be a consistent size for the book, and they're only going to be, like, thicker or thinner by a page or two.
So you like the challenge. Over time, you became more challenged to read because you start getting used to the story, start getting used to that particular setup, and you kind of say you start to lose, not necessarily interest, but it wasn't giving you what you wanted at first, you know, and I guess
yeah,
the challenge.
It was a very repetitive plot, I would say.
Yeah.
For
those type of books.
I read, like, at least 20 of those probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I read those first ones because that helped me get better at reading.
That's some good advice, Addison. I like that you shared that, particularly your own story, because you didn't like reading at first. And then once you got into that particular subject, that particular interest.
Because I liked the mystery, because then I could go through and, like, try and find what was going on. However, I will admit I never got it right. No, you think we pointed all the evidence to this person. Just kidding, it's this person. This person's being as suspicious as can be. Oh, wait, no, the person is who you expect to be the good guy. No, they're evil.
I love it. So, Addison, one more thing I want to ask you. Do you see yourself as a writer in the future, or do you just see yourself just reading books? What do you think?
I mean, like, most I'd probably write is, like, some sort of fan fiction-related thing, so I can just, like, have my imagination go wild on, like, what the story could have next. I don't think I'd be able to write a story start to finish. I probably would also just, like, give up and forget about it, and then it would just sit there, not never to be seen again.
Well, I want to encourage you, because I'm always encouraging people to write, is don't give up. One of my authors I had recently, her name is Dakota Hawk, and she wrote a book called Jacarcho, which is animal fantasy. And it takes from the viewpoint of these cats in a competition. Loved it. Absolutely loved the story. And she was 15 when she wrote that book. So she's only a couple years older than you, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you. I'm not saying don't, you know, do it. But
yeah.
It's not far out books out there, you know. But I think you're on a good start, Addison. And I really enjoyed having you with me today.
Yeah, one more book series I would recommend for, like, starters that's on the thinner side, but it's a good series,
mm-hmm.
is the Mary Poppins book series.
Yeah.
By, I think it's P.L. Travelers is her name. It's a great series. Like, the movies are great, but then it's like you kind of can, you see it more in your head, and it, you know what it is, and if you like it, then it's like, okay, there's more to it. I can read more.
And I'm glad you share that information with us, because I know my writer friends are going to be listening to this show, and they're going to take some of the information that you said, because they want to write books for kids your age and a little bit older, and they want to help, you know, stop illiteracy that's in our communities and in our country, because reading is so much fun. So, Addison, once again, thank you for being with me today.
Thanks for
Oh, no problem. And to you, dear listener, thank you for listening to the special edition of Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.